Day exists only when our part of the planet faces our sun, and then in the night, we return to the dark of the universe. I've never really thought about it like that, that it's the light that is temporary within this nesting sphere of dark. I suspect I've never thought about it like that because of the human desire to always turn toward the light. But so many of the creation myths say that the dark was here first. The first few lines of Genesis say, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." The Egyptian Book of the Dead says that the world appeared as an expanse of dark and directionless waters, personified by pairs of male and female deities. The Greek and Roman creation stories begin, too, in a dark, silent abyss. And I found lots of other creation stories from cultures indigenous to North America and Africa in which the earth or the people began in darkness. So the light was created or arose from the dark, much as we humans and all other mammals are born out of the dark of the womb. So light is a creation, and dark is that from which the creation emerges. I find that really useful to think about right now as we move into the time of darkness in this particular part of the Wheel of the Year. In just 2 days, we'll be turning into that dark time in which the length of the darkness will be longer until we come again to the longest night of the winter solstice. I find myself holding more anxiety around that turn this year than many others in the recent past. We'll be moving into the dark season with no resolutions in either of the dual pandemics of COVID-19 and white supremacy culture. It will be too cold to meet each other outdoors for many of us. It will be hard to stay home and to work from home and to school at home. And the sun will be at that low angle that just doesn't feel nourishing enough. It helps me to remember that there's cause for gratitude and celebration that goes along with our movement into the dark time. Many pagans and others who worship in earth-centered traditions are marking now as the middle of the harvest, which in our part of the world means the last of this year's tomatoes and sweet corn and apples and kale and garlic and sunflower seeds and squashes. This is a time of reaping what we've sown, of giving thanks for the bounty the earth provides. There will be more squashes and fall greens and pumpkins before the harvest season is over, even as the daylight wanes and the night starts to get cold. It also helps me to remember that during this time of movement to dark and celebration of what we've harvested during the light comes this one moment of balance. The equinox is the tipping point, the moment of balance both before and after the disequilibrium that is the way of almost all time. And there's so much, right, that feels like disequilibrium right now. Home life, school, work, climate, storms, wildfires, disparities, threats to people in marginalized communities, politics, public discourse, public health. So many signs that we're out of balance as a society, and they feel especially high stakes right now. It's disorienting. And so I'll say it again, because I think it's important. Balance is one moment, and disequilibrium is the way of almost all time. Because remembering that also helps me. Not that any of the stuff we've been dealing with since March or since November 2016 is easy, but that the state of disequilibrium is normal. constant motion is normal. Balance is just a moment between those different motions of disequilibrium. Maybe instead of working so hard to be balanced all the time, like we keep hearing in our news and our media, maybe we should be spending some more of our time and energy learning to be in a state of disequilibrium. I do not mean at all to say we should just resign ourselves to this is just how it's going to be. I do mean to say that if we're going to continue to stay resilient and focused on creating a world of love and justice, that we need to learn to function in our disorientation. This means that we need to learn to stay connected, to engage in our spiritual practices, to get grounded and centered in whatever ways we can. And just so you don't think I've got this figured out and I'm telling you, you need to figure it out too, I'm going to share that I'm struggling with this. Those of you who were in coffee hour with me last week know this. I'm watching too much TV. I'm sleeping in way too often. I'm spending too much time on social media and in my own head. But Adrienne Marie Brown also writes, "In the dark, I see dreams, and the long distance between the constant fire I yearn to be and the brief flashes I can pull off. In between the TV and sleeping and overstimulating and overthinking, I'm still managing to pull off brief flashes. I'm helping my kid develop a plan for learning in this virtual world that is part of our new normal. And I'm telling her that I love her every day. I'm taking my dog out and letting myself laugh at her joy and her goofiness. I'm cooking with this glorious, bountiful harvest I get to bring into my home. I'm calling my friends and sharing and laughing and crying with them. I yearn to be a constant fire of love and justice and presence and compassion for the world, for you all, for my family. And I can see that these brief flashes have the potential to be more frequent and maybe even lead me back there to being that fire. For now, I'm letting these small things help me stay centered, if not balanced, during this time. And I'm hoping that they'll lead me to work to shape a new normal that isn't just a response to a scary and ridiculous time, but an intentional new way of being that's shaped by a communal desire to finally have real peace and justice for ourselves, all our human and non-human siblings, and the Earth home that has supported us so far. I want to work on that with you." So in a way, I'm actually looking forward to spending some time in the dark. I come back often to the metaphor that the Sikh activist and civil rights lawyer Valerie Kaur uses. What if this time isn't the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? Darkness is needed for renewal. And with this much metaphorical darkness happening as we cycle into physical darkness, if this isn't the time for getting ready for a rebirth, I don't know what is. Along with that, for me, is an idea that there's an honesty that's possible in the dark that's harder to achieve when I can look at myself or others in the light. Those are my places to work on right now. That all reminds me of a piece that we often read during our winter solstice celebration from Julie Middleton that offers me a little more comfort and a little more inspiration, and I want to share it with you. What do we do in the dark? We go deep within ourselves in the dark. We look at our lives in the dark. We look at our paths in the dark. We look at our hopes and fears in the dark. What happens in the dark? Seeds grow in the dark. Babies grow in the dark. We rest in the dark. We get ready. Do we fear the darkness? No. We glory in the darkness. We dream in the darkness. We are made whole in the darkness. May it be so, and may we be so.